Advent, it's a time of anticipation. It's a time that we take to slow down, to pause and to reflect on what Christ has done and what Christ is doing. Week one, we looked at hope. Hope is living in eager anticipation. The people of Israel eagerly awaited the promised Messiah. They continued to eagerly wait until he came and he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem. They had known the prophecies of the Old Testament and they lived their life in eager anticipation that he would come. But they were looking for the promised Messiah because he was going to bring peace. But they were looking for peace as far as military was concerned, that they would come, the Messiah would come, bring military peace, come in as conqueror and king, not come in as servant and savior. And they lived their life waiting for military response. But they did not realize that Jesus was coming to bring peace or tranquility between a holy God, perfect and blameless, and an unholy people, rebellious and sinful. Why would God do this? God did this because he has great love for you. God has deep affection, intense affection, so much so that he gave the most precious gift he could ever give out of his great and deep affection. Intense affection for you and for me. Because of the hope, because of the peace, because of the love, what's my response? Well, my response should be joy. My response should be happiness, excitement, and great pleasure. That should be my response. And Christmas morning, Christmas weekend, we should be filled with happiness and great pleasure. This week is the culmination of Advent. The only thing left is the center candle, which is the white candle, which is the Christ candle, which we will light at Christmas Eve. Because all of this, Christ is the center. And he should be the center of all that we do. We're in Luke chapter 2 this morning, so if you want to get your Bible, open to Luke chapter 2. We need to do some review of that hope, peace, and love. Week one, we looked at Mary when she was talking to Gabriel, and she was told that she would have a child. But she was in her year of proving her purity. And she knew that if she would have a child, that she would have people talking. But Gabriel said, there's hope. There's the promised Messiah that is coming. We have hope in him. He is now going to be found in your womb. Elizabeth, your relative, she is 6 months pregnant. The one that said that was barren, she is now having a child. So Mary went to visit Elizabeth, and as soon as Mary spoke, the baby started to rejoice. And Elizabeth, full of the Holy Spirit, she spoke truth into Mary and said, blessed is the fruit of your womb. And she was able to speak peace and confirm in her life what God was doing. Last week, we looked at the great love of God. God loves you so much. He sent his one and only son to be born in a stable and laid in a stone trough because he loves you that much. This week, our response, we should be full of joy. Our response should be joy. So by now you're in Luke chapter 2. We're looking at the shepherds today in the same region The same region is what? The same region that Mary was at with Joseph and now baby Jesus in that area. There were some shepherds. They were staying out in the fields. They were keeping their watch over their flock by night. This is the map that we have. We're starting to get familiar with this map. The red arrow is Nazareth. The orange box is Jerusalem and the surrounding area that is expanded to this part over here. Bethlehem is down here at the bottom. Now, the shepherds were probably north between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, give or take about a mile or two away. They split the difference because most commentators believe the sheep that the shepherds were watching were sheep that were being raised to go to Jerusalem for the sacrifice. So they were close enough to Jerusalem to make it convenient. They were far enough away that they could move around and continue to have their sheep graze the field. But the shepherds, what do we know about the shepherds? These are interesting folks. You see, the shepherds, they don't have a really good reputation. They have a reputation of being unskilled and uneducated. They also have this reputation of being dishonest. You can't trust a shepherd. They also had such a bad reputation that during that time, they were not invited or allowed to testify in the court of law. Their testimony was invalid. So they're uneducated, unskilled, dishonest, not able to testify in the court of law. They worked all the time because sheep don't take care of themselves. So they couldn't go to services. They couldn't grow their relationship with God because they were always out tending to the sheep. So therefore, they were viewed as being unclean. So the religious community, they looked down on them. But they were very humble people. And I would submit to you this morning, there are two famous shepherds in the Old Testament. I could make you have homework and report back next week, but I'll tell you the two shepherds I'm thinking about. One was David. The other one was Moses. Two great shepherds, men of God, that God used. And this morning, God is going to use the shepherds. Now, isn't it interesting that these shepherds are uneducated, unskilled, dishonest, can't testify in court, and yet they're going to be the first ones to hear about the Christ that was born in Bethlehem. So in the same region, there were some shepherds in the same area. They were standing out in the fields, and they were watching over their flock by night. Just imagine, put yourself. I have good news and bad news. I'll give you the bad news first, and I'll give you the good news. The bad news is that it's winter in Maine. We have a blessedness of laying in our parking lot. Some of you have the blessing of going and exercising this afternoon. The bad news is we only have 8 more months of this left. The good news, for one day and one day only, it's going to be 85 degrees, and you're going to move out to your camp to the glory of Jesus. And you're going to be sitting at your camp at night, and you're going to be sitting there with your chamomile tea in your Adirondack chair, looking up at the sky. The cell phone's going to be off because at your camp, there's no cell phone reception. And you're going to look up in the sky, and you're going to say, wow, this is beautiful. That is just a glimpse of what the shepherds would see. Out in the middle of nowhere. The only light would be the stars or the moon. Any noise, they would perk up because it could be a thief coming to steal one of their sheep. It could be a coyote or some other predator coming to have leg of lamb. So they're always listening, always watching. Their eyes are tuned into the darkness, making sure that their sheep are safe. And out of nowhere, an angel of the Lord suddenly stood near them. To the very people that everyone just dismissed, leave them alone. They're not clean. They're not educated. They're not skilled. They're dishonest. Just stay away from them. If there's good news to tell, tell everybody but the shepherds. And all of a sudden, there stood an angel near them. Look at how the angel is described. The glory of the Lord shone around them. In the pitch black of night, there comes this glow of an angel. The best way I can describe this is right now, there is this sun that's out there. And now when I bring the girls to school, as I drive through the hills and valleys of the bustling metropolis of Glen Burn, on the road to Broadway. This week, I came down a valley, and I came up out of the valley, and the light from the sun hit my eyes. And it wasn't bright enough to have sunglasses, so I had the visor down, and in that 1.2 centimeters between the visor and the dashboard, that sun hit me. And it blinded me. It was such a glow that the only thing that broke my concentration was the anti-wrecking device of the car beeping at me that the car in front of me had stopped. Some of you are wondering, were you in a car accident? No, because the car told me to stop. But it was such a glow that my eyes were not used to it. And it was right here. That is only a glimpse of what these shepherds saw. And look at this. There was such a presence. There was such a glow around them. And look at their response. The shepherds were terribly frightened. Their fear had fear. That's what the Greek means. Their fear had fear. So if we want to read this, the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were fearfully fear of their fear. Take this, mark this down. The next time that you share your faith with someone, and it has been said to me, when I meet God, God's going to apologize to me. When I meet God, I'm going to stick my finger in his chest. I'm going to say, you were wrong. And I sit there and go, could I have a front row seat for that? I'd love to see that. Because every place in Scripture, nobody is standing in the presence of God. Their immediate response is to fall in worship. The shepherds haven't even seen God. They've seen the angels, and their fear has fear. And notice what the angel says. He says, do not be afraid. Do you know how many times in Scripture it tells us to not be afraid? 365 times. Good news, every 4 years you get one day to be afraid. Let's apply that truth. He says, do not fear. I just wonder how scared those shepherds must have been. And then here come the angels. Hey, listen, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. The only way I can illustrate this is when the boss calls. Hey, I need to see you in my office. When I say that, when I come around here, I've learned that that causes fear in the staff. Hey, when you have 5 minutes, I need to see you. It's amazing how busy people get when you just need 5 minutes. So I've learned to say, hey, when you have 5 minutes, I bring you good news. Here comes a line of people standing outside the office. The angel, they come with a presence. Don't misapply that. I'm not saying I'm angelic. Don't apply that. The glow is just off of the top of my head. That has nothing to do with anything. He looks at him, he says, do not be afraid. This is a meeting that is very unique. But don't you be afraid. Why? Because I bring you good news of great joy. What I'm going to tell you is going to cause you happiness. It's going to bring you joy. I've got good news. You can almost see the shepherds go, whew, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. It's just like when you walk in the boss's office and you have see that pink piece of paper on his desk or her desk. It's okay. I'm going to give you a raise. Hey, that's great news. You're right. It is good news. I'm going to bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Underline this, all the people. Do you know the Greek word for all? You know what it means? All. This news is for everyone. When I asked Holly, she was made my life full of jolly. When I asked her to marry me, it was romantic. She confirmed at second service. You'll have to ask her later. Trust me, it was romantic. We were out in the woods, and there was this runner running through, and I had just popped the question. And her response was, yes. I was full of excitement and full of joy. So this person was running up the hill, and I said, she said yes. He said, what was the question? I hope you trip. I couldn't wait to share the good news with strangers and everybody because it brought me happiness. It put a jump in my step. And here come the shepherds with the angels visiting him saying, this joy that you're going to have, it's for everyone. Not just certain people. I told everyone that Holly said yes. Didn't matter if it was a stranger, a neighbor, a friend. I told everyone because I wanted them to know. So this news I'm going to give you is going to bring you great joy for all the people. For today in the city of David, Bethlehem, there has been born to you a Savior, the long-awaited Messiah that you've been hoping for. Has finally come. His name is Christ the Lord. He has come. The prophets have foretold he is here. What has Jesus come to do? Jesus has come to span the gap. Because we're over here, every single one of us has sinned. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that contradicts God's holy word. And all of us have sinned. All of us have rebelled against God. God has said, I want you to do this thing this way. And we have looked at God and we have said, thank you for the suggestion. I'm doing it this way. And God has said, that has violated what I've told you to do. And as a result, it has brought separation. And we think if we are good enough or we get a running start, we can jump across this canyon and hold on to the other side and climb up. But Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God so that nobody can boast. So we have this huge canyon. And on the other side of the canyon, here's God. Everything that we are not, God is. God is perfect. God is holy. God offers forgiveness. But God cannot have fellowship being perfect with people that are imperfect. So he sent Jesus to die on the cross. 2,000 years ago, Jesus' purpose in living was so that he could die at Calvary. The point of Christmas is his life. The point of Easter is his death and resurrection. And so the question I have for you, where are you at on this diagram? Are you over here saying, I just want to live in my sin, I want to live in my rebellion, I want to do what I want to do? Are you here saying, I don't know everything, I don't understand everything, but I'm learning about what Jesus did. I'm learning that Christmas isn't about the presents. It's about the birth of Christ. That there's a God in heaven that loves me? Or are you over here saying, I have crossed the bridge. And I have put my faith and trust and hope in Jesus Christ. There's a present underneath this tree right over here. It has your name on it. And that present is going to sit there until you go and receive it. God has offered you a gift. It's the life of Christ. You simply need to accept it and receive it. Where are you at? Where are you at on this diagram? Because the point of Christmas is the life of Christ. He loves you and died for you. So the shepherds are there, and this is going to be a sign. The angel's talking to them. Hey, this is what you're going to look for. In my mind, it's like when we go to the nursery and you have all these babies. Which baby's yours? Mine's the fourth row, third one in. The cute one. Oh, there she is. There he is. Shepherds, this is what you look for. This is what you are to notice. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes. Remember we talked about this, the swaddler or the cocoon last week? She'd wrap him for warmth. She'd wrap him for protection. She'd wrap him to keep his arms straight. Moms, you know what this is like, the little swaddling clothes. We love them. The shepherds would be like, yeah, we know that. Every mom does that. But then he says, and you'll find him laying in a manger. I don't never know of a baby laying in a manger. This told the shepherds, I'm not looking in a house. I'm not looking in a hospital. I'm not looking in a hostel. I'm looking in a cave, in a barn for a baby. That is unique. That is special. And the shepherds would have been able to narrow their search to the outskirts of town. And suddenly, which is the Greek word for really, really quick, there appeared with the angel a multitude. Commentators, there's a few that give a different opinion. If you really want to get into it, I'm going to say Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. And Psalm 68, verse 17, they say this Greek word for multitude is 10,000 times 10,000. To save you counting, that's 100 million angels. Some commentators say literally 100 million angels showed up. That is the population of modern day Egypt. I don't think that that's true, because I don't think the shepherds sat there and went 1, 2, 3, 844,422. I think what they're saying is the heavens were filled. Not just one, the whole sky full of angels. Just imagine how bright that would be. Just imagine how beautiful that would be. Just imagine how glorious that would be. Heaven on earth has come down, and a multitude of the heavenly armies of the angels, they were praising God. What are we doing in heaven? We're singing. Won't that get old? No, it won't. Because we're going to see God as he is. And our response is going to be worship. And it will not get old, because we're going to see the beautiful glory of Jesus. And our response is just going to be, if we can, to sing. What else we do? I think we just sit there and cry because of the beauty that he is. Because we see him. So they sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Why would they say peace? Because Jesus has come to end the hostility between an imperfect people and a holy God. Jesus has brought peace. Peace has come to earth. Not militarily peace, but spiritual peace between a perfect God and an imperfect people. Peace on earth among people with whom he is pleased. When the angels had departed, how long did they stay? We don't know. How many choruses did they sing? I don't know. But after some time, they left. And when they departed from them, they went back to heaven. The shepherds, they began to say to one another, well, that was kind of nice. Where's the 54th lamb? What happened to Bertha? Where's Bertha? No! Look at what they did. They said, let's go straight to Bethlehem. One thing that jumped out to me this week. We're busy. How you doing? Oh, we're busy. We're busy. I've got 14 Christmas parties in the next 3 days to go to. I've got this and this and this, and I got to go shopping still. I've got to get this done and get this done. And we get so wrapped up in the hustle and the bustle of Christmas that sometimes we forget what Christmas is about. And the shepherds, they're busy because if these sheep die, the shepherds don't make any money. If these sheep go wandering away, the shepherds get in trouble by the ones that own the sheep. But the shepherds, they don't care about the sheep anymore. It doesn't matter. The angels have come. The skies were filled. And the angels left and they said, what? We got to go. We got to go. They don't sit there and say, who's going to cover the sheep? We got to go. Everything of this earth grew strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. We got to go. Straight to Bethlehem. When's the last time you had that much urgency in your life that you just went? Your child calls. Mom, Dad, I need you. Yeah, I'll be there eventually. Got to finish this pot roast first. You know, your wife is in labor. It's time. No, it's actually not. I've got to finish this home project you asked me to. I'll come back to that later. No, the shepherds, they heard from the angels and they say, we've got to go. We've got to get to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. I want to see it. Their lives were forever changed. Who did he go to? He went to the uneducated, unskilled, dishonest group of people that weren't allowed to testify in court. And he's entrusting them with the greatest message ever told. And their response is, I'm going. I'll see you later. The question I have for you this morning, are you taking time to worship and praise God? It's the most wonderful time of the year. I can't wait till January when it's over. Or are you stepping back and going, hold on, let's keep the main thing the main thing? Are you taking time to worship the Lord? I am too busy. I'm too distracted. The shepherds don't care about the sheep anymore. They're going to see the Lamb of God. How about you? So they came in a hurry and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby and the manger. They found them in the cave. Their response was to worship. When they had seen him, they trusted the angels, but they verified. Trust, but verify. Trust, but verify. When they verified what the angels told them was true, they made known the statement which was told them about the child. The shepherds were no longer shepherds. Do you know what they were? Missionaries. I have to tell people. I have to let them know. When we went back to campus at Lancaster Bible College, and there was a new carrot on campus, that ring I had spent so much time saving for was finally found its home right on her finger. I made a shirt. By the way, you had to have a collared shirt. I didn't care. I made a shirt, said on the front, Jehovah Jireh. And on the back, it said, the Lord provided a wife. She said yes. And I wore that shirt for a day and a half. making sure everybody knew that she said yes. I tell anybody and everybody. I wrote it in the car. You're looking at me like you've never done that. You have. And the shepherds, they were so changed by meeting the Messiah that they went and they made known the statement, I have to tell you, listen to me about this child. Listen to what I have to say to you. It is that important. Listen with your face. I met the Messiah, the one that we've been hoping for, the one that's bringing peace because of God's great love. It demands that I be joyful. Listen, he's here. And they went out and they shared about what they saw. And people, when they heard it, they were amazed. Huh? Really? She said yes to you? Are you sure? Yeah. Huh? How about that? The shepherds went out, and the people were amazed. You saw angels? Huh? How about that? The one thing Scripture does not say is their action. It tells us their response. The people were amazed. Huh? How about that? But it doesn't tell us what they did. And that brings me comfort. Because God has called us that we need to tell people about the good news of Jesus. We do not need to be the one to save them. That's Jesus' job. Our job is to be like the shepherds, to go and tell. If nobody tells them the news, how are they going to know? If I didn't tell you about my engagement to Holly, how would you know? You wouldn't. The shepherds have seen Christ. They have been changed. Their response is they go and they tell as many people as possible. Because their lives were changed. Who needs to hear your testimony? Who needs to hear from you about what Jesus has done? Who needs to hear about the real meaning of Christmas? It's not about Amazon. It's not about the number of presents. It's about the birth of Jesus Christ. Because God loves you. Out of his great, deep, intense affection for you, he wants peace. And out of that peace, he's given you his one and only son. You're going to go to Christmas parties this week. You're going to go to family gatherings this week. You're going to be going around to stores this week, interacting with people that you may not always interact with, but you have good news. What would it take for you to share that good news? The three questions from this morning. The first one is, where are you at in the bridge? If you're not sure where you are, don't leave here until you know for sure. And if you do know for sure that you're on the side of God's peace, forgiveness, and eternal life, your response should be joy. Maybe you're so busy. We're all busy. Let's not be so busy about the season, we forget the reason for the season. Let's slow down and worship the Lord. And then find that one person. Who can you talk to this week that needs to know the real meaning of Christmas? You have a unique opportunity. As you sit down and you have the Christmas ham and you're sitting around the table, can I tell you about Christmas? And you tell them the story of the greatest present ever given. Listen, I have stopped praying for opportunities to share my faith. Do you know why? I have them all the time. Do you know what I start praying for? Boldness. Because those opportunities are all around. Let's pray for boldness this week to share. People are open to the hope that we have because the world's hope is faulty. God's hope is perfect. Let's close our time in a word of prayer. As one of the pastors here, I get the opportunity to preach the most. But we have a group of pastors that care deeply for you. And I just wonder this morning if there is anybody here, you just slip your hand up and you say, you know, Tom, I don't know where I'm at on the bridge. I need to talk to somebody. My relationship with the Lord is not sure. I'm not secure in it. I have questions. Would you see me after? Would you slip your hand up? I'm not going to make you come forward. I'm not going to call you out. I simply just want a chance to talk to you so that one of our pastors can talk to you. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here, whether you're in person or online, that you'd say, I would like some prayer because I'm so busy that I'm not worshiping the Lord. Would you pray for me this week that I'd slow down, that I'd woe, and I'd worship the Lord this week? Would you pray for me? Is there anybody here? I see that hand. Thank you. Is there anybody here to say, would you pray for me because I need boldness? My goodness, I have opportunities all week. I need that boldness to share. Would you pray for me as I share this week? Oh, there's 10 hands up. 10 hands up. Praise the Lord. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. Lord, help us to be like the shepherds. Help us to be so changed by what we have seen and verified that we have to tell. Lord, we're so thankful for Jesus who came to bring peace. If there's somebody here this morning that does not have peace with you through Jesus Christ, may this morning be the morning that they surrender and accept the gift that you have given them. Lord, help us to be mindful and worshipful of you. There's that pull to be so busy doing so many things that we don't slow down and worship. Lord, help us to worship you. Help us to praise you because you are worthy to be praised. Your great love gave us the greatest gift, Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us as we go out. This week we have many opportunities. Lord, give us boldness to share with those that may not know about the life-changing present that's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Lord, we love you because you first loved us and you gave your one and only Son. And for that, we worship you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.